Good evening, Bloomington. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLRadio.com. The In the Zone radio program on the 18th day of September. Happy Monday here at WGCL. I'm Mike Glascott, joined this evening by my good friend Terry Stoltz. T, good afternoon. How are you?
Glass, doing well. Lovely afternoon in B-Town.
Where's all that rain everybody was talking about we were going to get today?
Glad we got a little misting this morning, and it was all.
That's it. Well, so much for that 90% chance this afternoon, so I don't know where that went, but that's the good news. So everybody that's out and about today after work or whatever else, you should be able to enjoy it. And I'm going to pull the radar up just because I'm curious.
Why not?
I looked at it an hour ago, and it looked like it was heading this direction. But I think we'll make it.
There was a big band out west, but it might go a little north, as they seem to do for us. But we are a public radio station, so you look up.
We'll look
give
it
us
up.
A weather sure. report here while we're here.
It looks like it's south of us. And we'll ignore it for now, but tonight's forecast is an 80% chance of scattered thunderstorms and then thunderstorms likely overnight. So we'll have to keep an eye on all of that. Maybe not. We're not here to do weather the entire time. We're here to help you out, get you caught up on your sports weekend as we move forward here in the middle of September, as summer is going to turn into fall, coming up officially on Friday afternoon, just after 4 o'clock, the autumnal equinox. And that means we've got football, more football, Hoosiers, Colts. We've got baseball charging into the playoffs, as we'll get a little bit of that tonight. And if we have football going, we have a very, very busy week for you on the airwaves. And it all starts tonight. We'll have an extended show for you this evening. We'll take you until 7:45 as In the Zone molds into In the Red Zone from 7 to 7:45. Then we'll pick up our national coverage of Monday Night Football, as the Giants are hosting Detroit. The Lions 1-0. They beat the Arizona Cardinals indoors on turf last week in Detroit, and the Giants fell in Dallas on Sunday Night Football. I don't think they scored more than 3 points, 22-3. It wasn't.
They were awful Sunday night, so you got a desperate team in the Giants. Arizona had the lead on Detroit. Matt Stafford with his new multi-million-dollar contract.
Lots of it.
Brought them back from a couple touchdown deficit, if I'm not mistaken.
They won 35-23, so yeah. Arizona wasn't putting up a million points. And Arizona didn't put up a million points yesterday either at Lucas Oil Stadium as they fell behind to the Colts. And you think, well, here comes win number one. We'll get into all the Colts details. We have plenty of show to do that as well. But we do have a busy week for you. It starts tonight. Again, Detroit and the Giants, 8:25 kickoff there. Tomorrow and Wednesday, the Reds hosting St. Louis at the Great American Ballpark. The Cardinals fell flat on their face in their biggest time of the season. They lose 3 in a row in Chicago over the weekend. The Reds sweep the Pirates. Reds are only 2 games out of the basement in the Central. They will have a say in the National League Central race because all these teams are going to be playing each other here for the next couple of weeks. So the Reds return to the radio Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night football. We'll have the Rams and 49ers for you at 8 p.m. Obviously, high school football on Friday, 7 o'clock for Perry Meridian and North. Dave Novak and myself will be out on the north side for that for you. Saturday, Penn State and Iowa. We don't have a time for that one yet. It's going to be, I'm going to guess. I'll look it up at some point. But that should be set up and ready to roll. And then the Colts and Browns. The Colts are underdogs at home to the Cleveland Browns. So if you're wondering how the Colts are doing after 2 games this season, well, there's not much surprise on that. But we'll leave the Colts here for a minute or two as we'll start things off right here in Bloomington. Indiana Hoosier football, no game this weekend. Obviously, Hurricane Irma putting the kibosh on that and some other teams around. Indiana's opponent for this Saturday played in Birmingham, Alabama last weekend because of the hurricane conditions forecasted for Georgia Southern's home field. So the Georgia Southerners will come into town on Saturday for a 3:30 kick. The Hoosiers have a couple weeks to prepare for that nasty triple option, and they started doing so back in spring camp, Coach Allen told us today, and obviously put a little bit in with the fall as well, but a couple extra days said, hey, that's not going to hurt us much. So we'll see how the unintended bye week goes for Indiana football. The one thing we did learn today is Indiana-Penn State, that game coming up in 2 weeks at Happy Valley. That's a 3:30 kickoff they announced today, Penn State did. So you'll be able, obviously all IU games are on. It's just we at some time you don't know when all the times are. So 3:30 again, that seems to be a common place now. So that'll be 3:30 a week from Saturday. And Saturday's game here in Bloomington is also 3:30. So you're caught up on all that. Boy, and the forecast for this weekend is blazing hot, too. Did you see that? 88, 89 degrees. Georgia Southern, they're not going to mind that. They're used to that down there.
That's no problem for them.
But the Hoosiers had time to, obviously, take a look at some film of Georgia Southern, who is struggling. We'll do more on this, obviously, Wednesday. Georgia Southern 0-2 on the young season. First game at Auburn, lost 41-7. Second game played in Birmingham, supposed to be a home game. But, again, it was moved, and they lost to New Hampshire, who was an FCS team.
Yes.
The old Division I AA, for those of you scoring at home. And didn't have a very fun day of it. Their touchdown came late in that game with 5 minutes to go or so, and they struggled a little bit with New Hampshire. So the Hoosiers should have a good, solid bounce back off the bye week, even if it's a little rusty against that triple option. The one news we did hear today that was also encouraging from a personnel standpoint is Brandon Knight is going to play, according to Tom Allen. So that's exciting because that's going to help Indiana's running game. We saw it against Virginia. With the quarterback position, Mike Majette had some carries, but it wasn't those numbers you'd like. The balance of running and passing is solid, but you'd like to get some more time on that. Morgan Ellison came in and helped out in that big drive at the end, even though they didn't score on it. So they did find some stuff, but there's no question they want Brandon Knight to be on that line. He's one of their best linemen, if not their best lineman. And adding that to the foray should help the Hoosiers, Terry, find some more balance as they gear up. Because once we get through Florida, or Georgia Southern, rather, it's Penn State, it's
Charleston
Southern, and then it's Michigan, and then all the Big Ten comes
big
in.
Stuff.
So that's what's to be expected. You know what division you're in. You're in the Big Ten East. It's not easy. It's never easy. And Coach Allen said today, hey, we would have loved to have had our bye week where we had it. We didn't. What are we going to do about it? Nothing. So let's get after it. Let's play ball. And they're excited to get out and do all that. The other thing we learned today, it's going to be the 10-year anniversary celebration of the Insight Bowl team. Indiana Hoosiers will wear special jerseys with Coach Hep patches and other things to celebrate that anniversary, and also Jane Heppner and the family will be there as well. They'll
cool.
be part of the celebration ceremony. So if you're wondering, well, you know, Indiana's going to blow out Georgia Southern, what do I need to go there for? Well, you need to go to support your team, number one. Number two, you're going to see a cool reunion with those guys, the last victorious bowl team. And obviously the Tom Allen and everybody else reminding, or more so the players, of the history behind The Rock and Hep's quest to get Indiana to a different level, play 14, or is it play 13? I can't remember at the time.
Play 13.
Play 13. Well, now we're playing a championship game and we've got all this other
stuff.
Yeah,
that's going. True. That's true.
But there was a feeling at that time that Indiana struggled for a while to get to those positions. You saw some other coaches come through here that didn't get Indiana Bowl eligible, and that was his goal. His goal was to play 13, and everybody rallied around that. It's similar maybe to Tom Allen's breakthrough. You know, we're getting close. We're getting into these positions. Now it's time to kick the door open and break in. So a big Saturday coming up, and we'll have more on that moving forward. I think the biggest question for Indiana football fans moving forward into the weekend is, what is going to be the quarterback situation? And why wouldn't it be? After you saw how well Peyton Ramsey played at Virginia a couple weeks ago, who's going to start? Who's going to play? Who's going to do all that? Well, Tom Allen stuffed that out the night after the game. He said, Richard Leko is my starting quarterback, and both my quarterbacks are going to play. Look how difficult it was for Virginia to plan for Peyton Ramsey in this game. Why would we take that out of our equation moving forward?
Well, they had already done that against Ohio State, and they did that at a certain point in the second quarter, I believe, or maybe late in the first in that game. But Richard Leko was moving the ball against Ohio State. Obviously, we had a lead at halftime, and to my thoughts, outplayed Ohio State in the first half. Ramsey did come in, even moved the ball a little bit in his series, but then he didn't come back in, and Leko finished out the game. So, I mean, I think it's one of those things where, you know, you always hear the old, well, if you got two quarterbacks, you have none. Well,
I think in the NFL that's true. I don't think in college football that is. I think there's a difference because of the different styles and especially the different competitions you're going to play as well. Some people will argue that Lego had his chance last year, and I'll point out, well, that was his first year.
Yeah.
And first year in Big Ten play, and if he kind of struggled a little bit, well, that's not surprising, but he was a fourth-year junior who's been around programs, and I know he traveled a lot and went in and out, but if that guy's not picking it up quickly or seeing things quickly, I don't think a redshirt freshman is going to jump in and by leaps and bounds be better. So until the players separate themselves, I have no problem playing both quarterbacks, and I definitely won't have any problem playing both quarterbacks against Georgia Southern.
No, and the same thing is, I'm glad Peyton Ramsey got in and got not only did he play fantastically, it helped lead us to a victory, but he got some time. He's got some confidence. I don't think Legault's going to – I don't think not playing. He was cheering on the sideline. Those guys seemed to get along fine. That's not going to be a
problem. Yeah, he completed his first 11 passes. Yeah, he had to be cheering for that.
And get both of them some time again, but we'll see on the 30th when we go to Penn State and play in front of 105,000. If Peyton Ramsey comes in and has the same similar results, then we'll know we've got something there.
Absolutely right, and Lego should have the chance. He's beaten him out in spring. Some people said that Ramsey, they thought, was the better quarterback during the spring practices. The fall camp, though, that hasn't been the case. Lego's been more consistent. Now, if Ramsey can find that consistency, that's great. And it seems like if the team embraces it, everybody else should embrace it. And if it makes you win football games, that's what Tom Allen talked about. He says, you can talk about LEO all you want, love each other, but until you show it and demonstrate it and it results in a win for the team, that's what it's all about. But I don't think perhaps when you play at the level of the Big Ten competition, that's going to sort things out a little differently. But we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years at the Big Ten level, when things aren't going well for the starting quarterback, regardless who it was, Nate Sudfeld, he went to the NFL for a year or so, and he was yanked at times to try something else, to mix it up, to give the defense a different look, to catch them off balance, and sometimes that situation works. Sometimes Indiana found some breathing room or found some space or even found some scores. But we also remember Xander Diamont had a start the last time Indiana went to Penn State, and he wasn't probably up for it in the perfect sense, but Nate Sudfeld had a turned ankle. He couldn't go that day, so the Hoosiers had to get by with what they had to get by. And that day, I think Danny Cameron mopped up maybe a little bit in the fourth quarter because Diamont got banged up on a hit. My point is you have to have two quarterbacks, because if you don't have two quarterbacks and something happens to your best one, you'd always love to have Lamar Jackson play all 90 snaps, wouldn't you? 300 this, 100 that, whatever it could be. But the point is, that's not how it always happens. Somebody rolls up on your ankle, you strain something, you pull something. You have to have another guy that's somewhat competent. I think Peyton Ramsey's past that, as we've both seen with our own eyes. So I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think that's not the way to look at this. I think more is better. I don't think it's less.
Well, the coaches talk about depth at all the positions, especially offensive line, which we may be struggling a little bit right now.
That'll help with Brandon Knight coming back.
Getting Brandon Knight back, who's the most experienced lineman they've got, it's got to help you. And same thing, they want extra defensive backs. They want depth everywhere. Why wouldn't you want depth at quarterback? We'll take it.
Nope, everybody's got to play. Everybody has to make plays. And if you don't make plays, when you're a linebacker, what happens? You probably come out of the game and they bring somebody else in. If you're burnt playing cornerback or consistently making penalties, they're probably going to give somebody else a chance. So I don't think at the college level, that's the key to this statement, at the college level, I don't think having two quarterbacks is an issue because you're not running tremendously different stuff. And you have to win the game, and that's what it's about. Pro level's different. Pro level, you pay a guy, and if you pay him a lot of money, he has to perform.
Yep.
You don't bench pro guys making a ton of money just because they're having a bad day or a bad series or whatever it is. So a little bit different there. Indiana and Georgia Southern, 3:30 on Saturday, Memorial Stadium, and the Hoosiers will be on it, and Lego is listed number one on the depth chart. Ramsey is number two, but again, that's not really going to matter. I hope Richard Lego is pulled on Saturday after he throws for three touchdown passes.
Oh,
and then Peyton Ramsey comes in and plays the second half and scores three or four more, and the Hoosiers should cruise over Georgia Southern. If you can't beat New Hampshire, that's not a team that you're going to look at and say, hey, look, you got to keep your kids involved. You got, you know, the kids don't need to know all that stuff, but that's one for the fans where you know you're going to go in there and you should see a big day on all three phases of the ball. Yeah, but Terry, that's a game you have to win.
Yeah.
Those are games you schedule for that reason. That's why you put them on. That's why you go out there. It's to give that depth a chance to perform and compete for positions. Under game circumstances, when you're not going against your own guys, the triple option is going to be a little bit weird, so the defense is going to have to be on their toes, and they've got a little rust to knock off with the two-week break. But they couldn't do anything about the break, so they embraced the challenge. They sent Tom Allen, sent everybody out recruiting on the weekend. They did it this weekend instead of the weekend of October 7th or whenever Charleston Southern's coming to town. So Indiana football on the up and up. No other big surprises or news out of the coach's comments today when we met with him at lunchtime. Brandon Knight coming back is probably the most interesting one, obviously, for the running game, for the passing game, for every game, because Brandon Knight's a pretty darn good football player. All right, 622 at WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of Colts football, shall we? Well, we shall. They were here on the airwaves yesterday afternoon taking on the Arizona Cardinals, and former Colts interim head coach and offensive coordinator Bruce Arians were in town. 16-13 was the final score. The Colts had a nice 13-3 lead as the fourth quarter was just getting started. Couldn't hold on to it. And for the second week in a row, a disappointing loss. This one a little bit different, though, and we'll talk about that next. 812-333-2665. You're in the zone. +626 on a Monday night. You're in the zone with Terry and Glass. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLradio.com. Anywhere you may be listening in the world on the World Wide Web. And don't forget, we stream all of our high school events as well for you. So high school football coming up this Friday. North and Perry Meridian getting together 7 o'clock. Yep, you can listen live. Thanks to our friends at Smithville for making all that possible. And basketball season T will be the same. All the games are on the line. So no matter where your brother, dad, uncle, mom, sister, grandma, great-grandma, anybody that wants to listen, it's free. You don't have to pay anything. Just hop right on and enjoy the broadcast. And we thank all our sponsors for high school football and basketball to make all of that happen. We are extended with you tonight till 7:45. As Mondays here in the football season, we're in the red zone. Give you that extra 45 minutes of recap, analysis, you name it, from the world of college and pro football, the sporting world. There's plenty of stuff going on, a lot of things coming to a head here quickly. So we'll have plenty of time to get that in for you. As Monday Night Football will follow us immediately at 7:45. The New York Giants hosting the Detroit Lions. Giants looking for their first win of the year. Detroit looking to start 2-0. That's our programming for you tonight. For the fourth consecutive season, the Indianapolis Colts start 0-2. Well, that's not any good, is it? But after everybody saw the Rams game last Sunday, I don't think an 0-2 start was completely out of the realm of possibility. Number one, the Colts didn't play very well. Number two, the Colts didn't play very well. Number three, the Colts aren't going to find new players overnight to come in here and fix all these problems. And Colts fans thought they would get some help on Sunday with new quarterback Jacoby Brissett under center, replacing Scott Tolzien. And 20 of 37 later for 216 yards and one interception. I guess since his wasn't a pick six, we don't look at it so harshly. But the quarterback position isn't solved. The running back position isn't solved. Wide receivers are dropping balls and not making plays. Defensive backs, defensive line, linebackers, safeties. About the only guy who gets a break is the punter. He's been fine. He hasn't been terrible. Vinatieri was Vinatieri. But, Terry, here we are sitting on a Monday again, scratching our heads, saying, well, what's it going to take to get these guys to get off the schneid? You played a bad Rams team. That didn't work. You come home to play a Cardinals team that only scored 23 points against the Lions. And the Colts have a 10-point lead with a quarter to play and can't close the deal.
Well,
where do we go from here?
It's the Colts. No, you know, that's just – this was a game that you thought they might have lost regardless because Arizona's been pretty decent the last couple of years.
Yeah. David Johnson's out for the year, though, best player.
And then he gets hurt, so that there, you know, you have an opening. Of course, nobody expected us to go out and play the Rams and just get thoroughly clocked the way we did. I thought the defense played – much better yesterday. You would think if you hold any NFL team to 16 points, you should win.
Absolutely.
I would think. But, and Jacoby Brissett, he is obviously more mobile. He's obviously got a better arm. He's tutelaged under Mr. Brady and Mr. Belichick. I like the kid. As I said, as we were sitting outside before we came in, I mean, if it had been Tolzien, he'd have been sacked 8 times that this kid danced out of and sometimes ran and made yards, sometimes just threw it away. But this bunch is – Andrew Luck's not going to solve all these problems. That's for sure.
He's not, but what I think Andrew Luck is going to do is, number one, when is he going to come back? I heard week five today somewhere, not in Indianapolis. I try to stay out of the indie media that's all kind of thoroughly inbred. So I try to get some information some other places to give to these to the people listening to our program because we're all tuned in sometimes to the same spots. But the point of the matter is nobody knows when Andrew Luck's coming back. And if Andrew Luck's not going to help this, I don't think that what we saw yesterday is going to beat anything. The bookmakers, Las Vegas tends to know more than any of us. They have made Cleveland a 2.5-point favorite. And Cleveland hasn't been a favorite on the road since when? Bernie Kosar was under center when they were playing John Elway in the championship. I don't know when it was. Cleveland is not very good. Cleveland has a top pick in the draft almost annually. There's a reason for that. They're not very good. And they are favored against the Colts. Well, there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, in a quarterback league, if you don't have a quarterback, this is not a two-quarterback league. This is a one-quarterback league. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. And Carson Palmer showed you that yesterday. Carson Palmer was nothing but terrible for 3 quarters. He was bad. The Colts had something to do with that. They had good press on him up front, good rush up front. Their young kids were making plays in the secondary. They were keeping their assignments. They kept their head on straight. And Palmer was uncomfortable. You saw him have to scramble and move around in the pocket. Well, guess what 38-year-old quarterbacks like to do? Not that.
Exactly.
Anything but that. But as good as the defense played, you whip up the numbers at the end of the game, and Palmer's thrown 19 balls for 332 yards. Jared Goff last week, who'd never won a game, threw for 302 yards. So it's not working. You're right. Andrew Luck isn't going to solve all these problems. I get it. But the one thing people want to give the Colts defense credit for that I'm going to take a different direction is it's 13-3 with 9 minutes to go and you lose the ball game. So if you played a 45-minute game, pat yourself on the back, don't hurt your arm. Absolutely, job well done. The problem was the Colts couldn't finish it off defensively, offensively, or otherwise. They had problems on special teams. They had problems on the offensive line. They had problems everywhere, everywhere. And I'll go through each single play at some point because it drove me crazy. But here's the deal. The deal is if you want to give the defense credit, you can't give up big plays like they gave up. Carson Palmer was 19 of 36 for 332 yards. You don't get credit for yards on style points. Those are yards that are accepted. Did it not lead to any points for a while? You're right. It sure didn't. And were the Colts making some plays? They sure were. But boom, boom. It's 2 pass plays in the fourth quarter, 13-10. It's boom, boom down the field again, tying field goal. Offense didn't kill the game off. Defense didn't make any plays. And here's the one thing we've heard forever with the Colts. Just get them a lead in the fourth quarter and let them pin their ears back. Well, last time I checked, 13-3 was a lead in the fourth quarter, and defenses should be able to pin these magical ears underneath their helmets should be magically pinned back, and the other team should be suffering at the wrath of the defense.
Well, those two guys that used to pin their ears back are
long.
One of them's retired, and I think they're both retired. Anyway, and I sure didn't see, except for John Simon, who played his butt off.
Played pretty well.
That's a good point.
But that's the thing. They were in position, and they were at a 10-point lead. And what happened? Well, the offense couldn't get any first downs because they had too many penalties, because they had guys dropping the ball. Here are the two excuses I heard today that were great. These are great. I just want your opinion on these. Brissett throws the ball too hard. That's why the receivers had a hard time catching it. I mean, get the shovel
out. Really?
This is the guys from the Star. This is the Indy Star guys bringing this up. It was told to us that Brissett throws a harder ball than Luck does, so these guys are trying to get caught up to that. Now, wait a second. How much money do you pay T.Y. Hilton? $100 billion?
T.Y. Hilton has never played good with anybody but luck.
Catch the ball.
With
Dante Moncrief, catch the ball.
He's ridiculous.
Catch the ball. Frank Gore out of the backfield hits him in the face mask.
Yes, hit him in the face mask.
In a situation where plays has to be made. So you're talking about the biggest players on the team. Jack Doyle dropped
one. But then
he had a great day. He dropped one, but he dropped one.
He caught everything that was thrown to him except for one.
I thought he dropped one. Maybe he missed a block.
Yeah,
maybe
you could be. I don't know. But let's put it this way. First 8 times he's target, he catches all 8
that's
of
right.
them.
I think Jack Doyle didn't drop one. That's right.
But, you know, Moncrief was 4 and 1 catch and 2 drops. One was a little high throw. Yeah, the Colts receivers are doing –
Moncrief said after the game that he got the ball lost in the lights at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's your home stadium. I have a hard time buying that. I have a hard time listening to excuses like the quarterback throws it too hard. The quarterback who throws it soft has been gone for 9 months. 9 months. Come on. Just man up and say you didn't make the plays. It's a little bit easier to take as a fan. It's a little bit easier to take.
When the roof's closed.
What if it was,
but the one
it was open
side's
the sun
open.
Was out? Gee whiz.
The other side's open. It's obviously it's daylight. The lights aren't kicking in anywhere in the stadium.
Can you give me a break, please? Now, here's the other problem. Brissett comes in the game, unknown quantity. Now, obviously, there's no film on him. The Cardinals aren't going to know what he's going to do. His first 2 drives, he takes the Colts down the field. Field goal, takes the Colts down the field. Touchdown, 10-0. The Colts scored 3 points after that. So everybody that thinks the offensive problems are fixed, I'm going to have to disagree with you. Because how many points did the Detroit Lions score on the Cardinals last week? 35, okay?
Yeah.
The Cardinals have never been mentioned in any great premise as an excellent defensive team. Remember the playoff game the other year where it was 48-40 whatever with the Packers? They don't guard anybody. So to think this is fixed is crazy. Here's the other problem. You want to tell me you're up 13-3 and everything's going well, 10-point lead, look how great you're playing? 29 carries for 76 yards. Kill the game off.
Yeah.
Find a way to do it. The Colts have so many problems right now. It's almost impossible to count, but when we come back, we'll take a look at some of them, and we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. The quarterback gets too much credit when they win. The quarterback gets too much credit when they lose, but the pass Brissett threw was criminal in overtime, and we'll talk more about that. Plus, we'll take your phone calls, 812-333-2665. That's Terry. I'm Glass. You're in the zone here on a Monday night. It's News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL Radio here in Bloomington. We're back with more Colts. Terry's going to help me find the positive in all this because I've got a list of negatives that I can run down to Scotty's across the street from One City Center. I know that. 6:37, you're in the zone. It's WGCL. All right, here we go. 6:40 at WGCL. That's Terry.
Yes.
I'm Glass. You're in the zone here on a Monday night, September 18th. We'll take you to 7:45, our pregame coverage of Detroit and the Giants. 8:25 kickoff Monday night football. And I know there's some of you like Terry and myself that maybe won't be able to catch that on your television set. So turn your radio dial up, put your feet up. And enjoy it all the way. Oh, wait, what's tonight?
Tonight's ESPN.
ESPN, no. Sunday night.
We can get that. It's Sunday night
football
we can't
that
get,
you couldn't
that
watch.
That you can still listen to right here.
You can.
Which I did last night.
And so did I. Green Bay and Atlanta last night, the Falcons. Easy winners. That was interesting. 24-7, then it was 34-7, and then the lights were out.
Mm-hmm.
And not even the wonderfulness of Aaron Rodgers could bring the Falcons back. We'll go around the NFL here in the next hour and get thoughts on the games and everything else happening in the Colts division and everything else. But right now, the problem is the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts entered the 2017 season with the easiest record on paper and are already 0-2 for the fourth year in a row. I mean, I don't care how you want to spin that T. That's just not – That's not good enough because the playoff percentage, and that's all the NFL is about, right? Winning, getting into the playoffs and doing all that. The playoff percentages from the last however many years when you start off 0-2, there's only been a handful of teams that have made the playoffs. Yes, the Colts are one of them, if you remember, recently. But the issue is it doesn't happen very often. And it's a hole you can't dig yourself into year after year, time after time. And right now, that hole is dug. It's been dug by a new general manager. It's been dug by the same coach here 4 years in a row, right? I think that's accurate. Would you have liked to have a healthy and perfect quarterback and perfect and healthy roster? Well, the Colts are far from that, and that's part of their problems moving forward. For the second game in a row, and the reason I'm illustrating this point is it's not you can't change this overnight. You have an undrafted rookie playing center, the kid from Warren Central. Fumbled once, Colts got it back, thank goodness. You have the left guard who made his second career NFL start. You know what his first one was? Last weekend.
Last week, yeah.
You have Anthony Costanzo, your big money left tackle, who's getting absolutely blown to smithereens. He's holding guys so Brissett doesn't get killed. That's killing drives. You've got Jack Muhort jumping off sides. You've got Joe Haig, first and 10, the whatever, he jumps off sides. Every single one of those players had problems. And it's not hard to figure out when you're talking about a fifth-round pick, undrafted, and then you've got even the two guys that you rely on because Costanzo was a first-round pick, and I believe Muhort was a second or a third-round pick. Those are guys that have to perform. And it's not about when you commit the penalties. It's about completely when you commit them. If it's the first drive, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. But when you're in the red zone, when you're late in games, if your line can't hold it together, you mentioned earlier it was great that Brissett saved them 8 sacks. Well, that's good, but that goes to your greater point that it's not good.
Well, it's better than him laying on his back and
a
15-yard loss.
Yes.
That's my main. He's mobile enough.
I couldn't agree with you more.
He's mobile enough for this ineffective line to keep a play going long enough to at least throw it away
What has Jim Irsay suggested is Andrew Luck's biggest problem right now? The 4 inches between his ears.
Yeah, that's...
And if he's watching that line block...
Why would he come back?
My goodness!
I wouldn't.
He signed the contract to play. He should do everything in his power to get on the field. But I could see why he's a little jumpy. Can't you?
Well, just a little.
And the other part of this issue is about when it comes back, can he take a hit? Can he deliver a hit? Can he be planted on that shoulder? Is a labrum an injury that is just, oh, it's just fine, don't worry about it, put your pads on and throw? Well, if we're talking about the 4 inches between his ears, I'm guessing it's a little more involved than that. The old joke with Luck would be, watch him take off and run two guys over. That's what wakes him up, gets him into the game. Well, is that gone? Is that not there? Well, what I know is he's going to get hit.
Yeah.
The way this line is played shows you that Andrew Luck is going to take some pops. Every quarterback usually does. But the point is, if the line struggles to handle blitzes, if the line struggles to handle anything that has to do with trying to avoid penalties, the rushing game isn't going to help this either. We've seen the young kid, Mac. He's something, but he's not doing it. And I know 2 games is a very small sample size, and I'm not overreacting, but what I've seen is backwards. He gets hit at the line of scrimmage and goes sideways or goes backwards. And the numbers back that up.
Well, I mean, again, you...
Yesterday he had 6 carries for -3 yards.
Yeah.
Not one carry. He had 6 carries for -3 yards. And again, that highlights 2 things. Would a rookie running back's... They're rookies, so they're not smart and savvy like maybe Frank Gore is. Maybe that's why you kept Gore all these years at 34. Well, Mr. Smart and Savvy carried 14 times for 46 yards, an average of 3.3 yards,
yes.
And he had a 13-yard gain. So if you want to take that out and go 13 for 33, that's worse. But we don't want to do that because it counts. He did have a 13-yard run in the fourth quarter to keep the Colts moving along. But my point is, you have a 34-year-old running back and you have a 22-year-old running back, and neither one of them are getting any yards. You have a quarterback who's been in the system for six practices, maybe tops, and they can only run, what, 50% of the playbook, and he's running for his life, which doesn't help anything. Can you please find me some upside, please? What is the upside to all this? Luck will be back? Right?
There's no upside in sight unless Mr. Luck can play. And that will, hopefully, that will make T.Y. Hilton once again the receiver that made he actually was at the Pro Bowl a couple times. He can't seem to catch a ball or run a proper route with anyone else at quarterback other than Luck. Moncrief can't catch anything. Perhaps Luck will make him better. Jack Doyle catches everything. We don't worry about Jack. Right. Can we hold onto the ball with Luck and sustain some drives so the defense can rest and then really, as you said earlier, perhaps pin your ears back when you get a lead on somebody?
Can we get to Andrew Luck? That's the next question.
That's the biggest question.
If the Colts are 0-5, what is the point of even bringing him back? You might as well give him the full year off. You might as well take whatever you get with the NFL draft, however that falls in. I don't know. We're not at that stage yet. I told you last Wednesday the Colts were going to be better this week. They were going to play better because they're at home. They're going to play better because the adjustment from game one to game two. All these new guys playing together, they would be better. They were better.
Yeah, they were.
But they weren't. They were a little bit better on defense, yes, completely, but they still gave up 300 or something yards passing. They still didn't make any plays late in that game. They made plays early in the game. We'll get to those. There were some plays made that need to be pointed out. There's no doubt about that. But when you look at guys, and you look at Brissett was he was throwing two routes, wherever Doyle was, and then a five-yard cross across the middle. The ball rarely went downfield. It did a couple of times, but you know why it can't go downfield?
He doesn't have time,
so that rules out guys like T.Y. Hilton, and that rules out guys. Well, then Moncrief can't catch the ball. It's in the lights, so we can't even throw the ball up in the air to him. But the play that you can go through this, and it drives me crazy, because there's a play that just exemplifies where the Colts are right now. And T.Y. Hilton gets grief from me. I don't care what he did last year. Go ahead. Tell me about last year. How good were the Colts last year? They get in the playoffs?
No, they're 8-8.
And they're not close to 8-8 right now. There's a play on third down, and I believe the Colts challenged a spot on it. He gets the ball out of he runs a quick little underneath, catches the ball, and then goes to ground and tries to scoot for the first down. So I don't know if he did it on purpose or what he did, but we know in week one he went down to avoid contact and fumbled that week. He's not even taking hits for the team to get your first down. So they measure it short and they get a punt. Go get the first down. Get hit. I know it stinks. It's football. You're making $10 million, $12 million a year. Go get hit, please. So if your leaders, your Pro Bowl guys, aren't setting the table and doing that, Dante Moncrief gave up on three passes in that game. Just didn't want to go get him.
Your leader, your coach, is not kicking anybody in the ass, and it's patting people on the head and telling them it'll be okay. You got to play better next time.
Chester Rogers ain't solving this problem, folks.
No, hardly.
Quan Bray is not going to come off the bench and start catching balls. Kamar Aiken dropped a pass, caught one. Jack Doyle was it. And good for Jack, because Jack's got some money in his pocket, and he's catching the ball, and he's doing his job. T.Y. Hilton, little handcuffed, I get it, can't get down the field, can't get behind guys. He had the most 20-yard balls or more last year. I get all that. But that's where the Colts are right now.
Yep.
Frank Gore's not giving them second and short. They're not finding a running game because the line stinks. So where do you go if you're the Colts? You keep scratching your head and scratching your head. But, then we always have a but, don't we? But, there were some good things, and there were some good things on the defensive side of the ball from some young players, and we'll take a look at those before we break one more time for the top of the hour, and we'll do that next. 812-333-2665. There had to be something good in this game, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, there was.
Holding Arizona to 3 points for three quarters was good.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll highlight some of that when we return. 6:51, that's Terry. I'm Glass. You're in the zone on a Monday night. It's WGCL. All right, one last time in hour number one. We will take you up until 7:45 tonight. Monday Night Football, Detroit at the, what are they calling that now, MetLife Stadium? It's the Meadowlands for me. It will be forever.
Yes.
The Giants
3-point dogs tonight.
Oh, interesting. So no love for their lack of offense. That tells me that Odell Beckham Jr. is not playing either. They were a little handcuffed against Dallas without having their best wide receiver. So if you don't have your best player in the NFL, you're not going to be very good. So you better find ways to win. And being up 13-3, the Colts did show some life there, Terry. And the one or two players that jumped out were in the defensive backfield. All three rookies that came in made plays.
That's exactly where I was going to go. That our top draft choice, I think that was beautiful. Maybe a little bit of an overthrow, but you know
terrible pass. But he you know what he did? You know what he didn't do? He didn't drop it.
He didn't drop it.
Caught it and made 40 yards on it.
Made 40 yards. I don't know if he Palmer even saw him, but it was just a great play.
Arians killed Palmer at halftime. Did you hear that interview?
Of course he did, yeah.
He said, you cannot throw that ball. What are you looking at?
He says, what's your problem, our quarterback?
Well, he's right.
But, you know, no, so yes.
But make a play. He made a play.
We had a rookie DB safety, whatever he was playing there. He made a nice play, ran it up the field, had a couple of different good plays by those guys who – you talk about growing pains. They're just trying to figure it out.
You can't find anybody else. You've got guys have to play, and if they're and they're young, they're going to get taken advantage of sometimes, and that's what goes with it. You saw Malik Hooker also break up a pass, knocked it out of Quincy Wilson, the other young core, the fourth round pick, the cornerback. He also knocked the ball out, made a good play on a couple good plays defensively, keeping his guy in front of him as well, making surefire tackles. You saw Nate Harrison. I believe he was the cornerback from Temple. I want to say sixth-round pick, fifth-round pick. These guys all run together. It doesn't matter what round they're in for the most part, but they made plays. He got a sack in the second half on Palmer, which was excellent. So you did have some plays, but then you did have some bad plays as well. The only play of the game that you're hoping your secondary makes is after the tough penalty. You guys want to talk about the penalty? I don't want to talk about the penalty because you know why? It's a judgment call. And if you don't like the judgment call, that's fine. I don't think the spirit of the law was adjudicated properly there. I thought that Palmer's arm hit into Sherrod's arm, which hit into his face mask. I thought the follow-through pushed it into his face mask. But that didn't matter.
Yeah.
The Colts just gave up a 20-yard pass play. So they tack on 15 more yards or they don't. They're still taking a home run shot the next play. And what happens? The cornerback for the Colts, Quincy Wilson, is jumping over the free safety of the Colts because he's caught looking in the backfield for about the fifth time last night. And he couldn't make the play. And the wide receiver for the Cardinals made an excellent play on that catch. And, again, that's the play in the situation time of the game that needs to be made. Breaking a pass up on first and 10 on the 22-yard line of Arizona, that's good. You need to do that. I agree. But when the money was on the line, you've got Farley, the safety, and you've got Wilson, two guys that probably don't have 5 games between them in the NFL, 10 games between them. They're not making the play when it counts, and boom, it's 13-10 just like that. And the Colts also struggled that last drive where they had to settle for a field goal, penalty, drop, pass, you name it. Everything happened poorly on that drive, and that wasn't with that. You know, that wasn't with Marlon Mack, a young guy. That wasn't with your fifth wide receiver dropping balls. That was everybody. Those were the big-name players. They didn't stand up and ice the game off. It was nice to be up 13-10, great, or 13-3, 13-10. But the Colts didn't kill the game off, and you let a very offensive team stick around, and that's what happened. So we'll come back and do a little bit more next hour in the NFL and college football. That's right. This is not a test. We are back for hour number two. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLRadio.com. The In the Zone radio program in the Red Zone every Monday of the NFL season after opening week. We take you until 7:45. We don't do so in week number one because of the NFL doubleheader. We actually have our shortest In the Zone of the year. So we go from the shortest to the longest, and away we go for the next, 16 weeks of NFL football on Monday nights until 7:45. Joining me tonight, I'm Mike Glasscott. That's Terry Stoltz. Hello, T.
Glass, lovely to be with you this week as Dave's on assignment.
Getting tuned up. Dave's in the repair shop.
That's right, repair shop.
We'll hope to hear from him on Friday night when we take you out to North for homecoming. Perry Meridian's in town, 7 o'clock. kickoff, so that means we'll get things started at 6:30 with Chalk Talk. We'll keep an eye on those. Those games have been changing up a little bit.
I know.
So we'll do a better job of making sure that is. If anything, we want you there early and not late.
Last weekend, the word was Southport requested moving it up an extra half an hour, only because they didn't want to have such a late night going home.
Okay.
They do get out of school. They start early there, and they get out of school before 2.
Oh, so they have plenty
of time to get down early. Here. So they just didn't want to make a late night out of it.
Interesting.
That was per Dave from someone in the press box.
Well, that makes sense. And if anything like that jiggles around, we know the construction problems on 37/69 give some people some pause and some headache as well. But right now, the game is listed at 7 p.m. as far as I'm looking. That's what I see, and again, we'll give you that update as the show rolls on. We're with you tonight until 7:45. Detroit Lions traveled to New Jersey, MetLife Stadium, to take on the Giants. Detroit beat the Arizona Cardinals in Week 1 at Ford Field in Detroit. The Giants lost in Dallas. No Odell Beckham Jr. That's a big deal for them. That's Eli Manning's best target. Doesn't sound like he's playing tonight. We will double-check that before we jump off the air for you, too, at 7:45 as we'll hand it over to the folks handling the national game. Tomorrow and Wednesday night, the Reds return to the radio. The Reds swept the Pirates over the weekend, so they're playing some good baseball. Finally got some good pitching from their young players. We'll get on Terry about the Dodgers here sooner than later. The Reds and Cardinals, 7 o'clock, the Great American Ballpark, Tuesday and Wednesday night. The Cardinals' audition for the big stage fell apart in Chicago on the weekend as they were swept by the Cubs. Cubs now have a 4-game lead over Milwaukee and a 5-game lead over the Cardinals in the National League Central. Not good. NFL picks back up on Thursday night. The Rams in San Francisco is our Thursday night football game. Penn State is at Iowa, 7:30 on Saturday night. That's our college football game of the week. And then Sunday, the Colts looking for their first win in the 2017 season. It's the fourth year in a row. They've started 0-2, and they will welcome in the winless Cleveland Browns to town, who are favored by 2.5 points.
Oh.
Unbelievable. You've heard it all, seen it all with the Colts, and we'll do a little bit more on them. And don't forget, Indiana football is back in action this weekend. 3:30 at Memorial Stadium on Saturday. They will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Insight Bowl team. Little reunion there. Special jersey, special patch, honoring Coach Heppner's vision of Play 13. Jane Heppner and the family will be there as well. They will be honored, as will the team. And to remember the legacy that was Coach Heppner's very short and too short tenure at Indiana University. So we'll do that all on Saturday, and you can get with us at the stadium or however you enjoy Indiana University football. But there was not a lot of joy in Mudville yesterday. Lucas Oil Stadium was the site. The Colts 13-3. They get out to a 10-0 first quarter lead. They chew up 16. What was that drive I was telling you, Terry? This is how the Colts, they're getting ready to put the game away. Here they go. 16 plays, 76 yards. They run off 9 minutes and 18 seconds. Kill the third quarter, get into the fourth quarter, and with 11:42 to go, Adam Vinatieri knocks in a 29-yard field goal, and you think, well, there's the Colts looking good. 10-point lead. Arizona's offense has done nothing all day long. They couldn't run the ball. They struggled to find a replacement for David Johnson, one of the best players in football. So they're not crying that we don't have Andrew Luck. That's not an issue there. But then the Colts didn't make a couple plays. Arizona made a couple plays. And the next thing you know, the game shouldn't have gone to overtime. Let's be fair about that. That's one thing we didn't talk about. But the game had no business going to overtime. As Phil Dawson, he's about as old as Vinatieri.
I thought you were going to say he's about as old as me when you were pointing this way. But
you're not a kicker.
No, I don't think I could quite do what he did. Ridiculous. But right there, that drive was the key. We talked about the defense gets rested. Now they can really come in.
9 minutes on the sidelines.
9 minutes.
9 minutes.
And we have to settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown that suddenly makes it 17-3, which means
two scores and you're in a better spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two touchdowns are mandatory to get. But instead, the Colts come out. Give it a little penalty. They drive Arizona. It's 3rd and 20. 3rd and 20, and you think 13-3 at 3rd and 20. It's finally happy time in Colts land. It's not. Pass is complete, and they get all the yards, 22 of them. And then you add 15 to it, and next place, touchdown. So the Colts couldn't even get mad, didn't even have time to get mad. Was it roughing the pass or was it not? Anytime you touch the quarterback's helmet with your hand, the flag is going up. Why? It's a quarterback league, and you better have a quarterback. So is it unlucky on Sheard? I thought it was. When I saw the play originally, I thought he did get him. But when I saw from another angle, it looked like when Palmer's arm was coming through, it hit Sheard's arm and pushed it into his face. The interpretation is don't touch the quarterback. Is it unlucky? It is. But that play had nothing to do with it. Stop him on third and 20. Don't give up a 22-yard pass. And those young kids would make great plays earlier in the game. If you watch the replay of this, which I did right before I came in, there's nobody streaking past. All of the Cardinal receivers kind of stop in the same vicinity. And our young guys are late closing on the ball. There's nobody to worry about getting behind you. There wasn't that threat. And that's something they're going to learn from. They're going to learn on the job. So we did see some good plays there. But you give up third and 20, and then the next play, boom, it's a dagger right down the field. Palmer finally throws a decent ball, and it's a touchdown pass. How long did that one go? Just 45 yards. So they give up a 20-yard chunk play on third and get off the field, and then give up because they're feeling sorry for themselves and wondering how that happened, and then they give up the 45-yard touchdown. But, and there's always but, isn't there? They're still up three. This game isn't over. Now it's time for the offense to come in and take care of business, right? Well, the Colts get the ball back. And what happens? The first play, Joe Haig, false start. So now you're trying to kill the game or trying to get the clock rolling down. You've got the ball with 7:38 to go in the fourth quarter. You've got a three-point lead. I'm not saying you're going to kill it with a couple of first downs, but what you need to do here, T, is find a way to keep Arizona, their momentum gone, find a way to move the sticks, find a way to do anything except give Arizona the ball back. So the first thing out of it is what? A penalty. You come out of the huddle and you get a penalty. You can't make it up. So now it's first and 15, then it's second and 17, then it's third and 6. Dante Moncrief on a crossing route can't get away from anybody. Why are you throwing on third and 6 a 3-yard crossing route? Well, because that was Brissett's problem all day. He had people in his face. He didn't take very many shots down the field. So now you're expecting your third-round pick or your guy that's been there to make a play for you.
Yeah, it would have helped. And, you know, and Moncrief's not a – I mean, he's 6'2". He's not a small guy. He's fast. But you got to make a play. I mean, this is what, his third year with the Colts?
Yeah, third or fourth.
And he's, you know.
Why is he running a 3-yard pattern on third and 6? That's another question.
Well, that's the biggest question.
Get to the first down stick so you can use that 6'3" frame.
Let's ask Chud that question.
Well,
ask
you know
Chud.
What? That's
maybe
part
he'll
of
know.
It. And maybe the part is looking at the tape again that somebody was in his feet and he had to go. But if he had the pass on the money. But why are you running 3-yard routes on third and 6? You're hoping to beat a guy and get around the corner? Okay, that's Tyrann Mathieu. He's a really good player. It's Patrick Peterson.
Oh.
These are guys that can cover you. So I didn't understand that. This is my point. My point is the Colts have multiple levels of problems. Even when Dante Moncrief is catching the ball, he's not in the right spot. I don't know if that's the play. They run it that way for a certain – are they trying to get a pick? I don't know how any of that stuff works. But all I know is if you need 6 yards on third down, you should probably at least run to the first down marker.
I would think so.
I'm just a football novice.
Makes sense to me.
I don't claim to sit here and be John Gruden of football. So what do? You've got a punt. Bring out Rigoberto Sanchez. He bangs a 46-yard punt down there. Guy's got his arm in the air waving for a fair catch. And what's our rookie defensive back do?
Runs right into him.
Runs.
And I mean
right over.
Nails him. Almost looked like he tried to stop at the end and went
down
on his feet.
Yeah, you know when he stopped?
Yeah.
He stopped when he made contact with him.
And then
the
put his hands on his helmet because he'd known what he did.
That's former Patriots. Kenny Moore II. And I'm picking on Kenny because he made a play that gave the team that he was trying to beat 15 extra yards when they just needed a field goal to tie the game. 5:44 left to go. All these yards matter at some point. And if you keep making undisciplined plays, whether you're Joe Haig, Jack Muhort, the undrafted, whoever you are putting the Colts had one penalty in the first half. One. And then this all falls apart when it's winning time. That's worse. You know who that goes on? Go ahead and tell me.
Oh, geez.
Who does that fall on?
Well,
it falls on the head coach.
I That's my thoughts. I'm going with Chuck Pagano. Mister, I look scared all day long on the sidelines, which drives me crazy. Which has little to do with coaching, I guess. But he just looks like the moment's too big. And I mean every moment of every game looks like it's too big for Chuck. And it always has. So, but he had 3 straight 11 in 5 seasons. So I guess he's still got some insurance there.
His general manager and himself were spared a year ago. And now his general manager hasn't been spared. I will argue that Chuck perhaps doesn't have all the talent he would like on the field right now.
True.
Especially on the defensive side of the ball. When you have 11 new starters from last year on the defensive side of the ball, the defense wasn't bad until it was bad. And that was the problem with yesterday's game. The Moore kid comes in and gets lost on the play because he's a nickelback, and they get a catch for 28 yards down to the 31 of the Colts. And there's your game time. Okay, you want to say they did a good job there by holding on 3rd and 4? They did. You're right. They didn't go down and score a touchdown and beat you in regulation. The Colts get the ball back after being tied 13-13 two more times. Two more times. And the offense didn't do anything with it again. And that's the tough part about having a guy in your system for 2 weeks. The two-minute drill is not going to be something he's going to do. The Colts get the ball with 3:25 to go, 16 yards to Hilton. Frank Gore for 2 yards, incomplete pass. 3rd and 8, with 2:08 to go in a tie game, who do the Colts target? Kamar Aiken.
Yeah, why in God's name would they target him?
The Colts have more problems than just having a quarterback issue. So there's two reasons for that. You target Aiken because the play falls apart quickly and you need to get the ball out. Okay.
Maybe not.
Or you're targeting Kamar Aiken because he's running the route that you're most comfortable throwing. And that takes us to overtime. The pass that Brissett threw in overtime, when you saw it from the end zone shot behind him, what he was looking at, what was he looking at?
I have no idea what he was looking at.
He can stand up there in that ugly sweater and tell me about how it's his fault and it was a bad job and I should have never thrown that pass. There was nothing.
No.
There wasn't a glimpse of blue jersey in between those two red jerseys.
If the one guy didn't intercept it, the other guy would have got it.
I think the other guy was surprised he didn't intercept it when Matthew went in front of him and took it.
Yeah.
And Matthew was a hot dog at LSU, and what'd he do? He went 2 steps and laid down.
Exactly.
Because I guess he's getting it. He's figuring it out.
Finally.
First-round picks, second-round, whatever he is, nice player, very athletic player. They beat you on the field goal that they should have beat you in regulation.
Yep.
So the Colts won it twice, lost it twice, and here they are 0-2. They will be underdogs to the Cleveland Browns come Sunday. And Terry, I couldn't tell you why they should be favorites. I didn't see anything. I talked to 2 people that went to the game that said Brissett was gun shy all night. There were deep balls he could have taken chances with, but he decided to check down and keep hitting underneath routes just to get some kind of semblance of rhythm. I'm okay with that, but if he doesn't throw the deep ball, that kills T.Y. Hilton. That they're going to see on film that everybody's going to bunch up. They're going to crowd those underneath routes. What did he throw? He threw crossing routes underneath. He threw dumps to Doyle out of the back or easy passes to Doyle. It wasn't very complicated. So if the Colts aren't going to run a very complicated offense, don't be surprised when they go 3 quarters and just score 3 points.
He better be ready to throw deep balls next week because that box is going to be full.
It is because the Colts have shown you they can't run.
That's right.
And the Browns played pretty well against the Steelers in week 1.
Should have beat them. And they didn't play as well yesterday. They did losing.
Not.
They, too, are 0-2. But
they are the Browns.
I have a list here of the people that's 0-2 with upticks and down ticks.
Yeah. How many upticks do you have by the Colts? They just have ticks. There's a difference. You better burn those off.
I have the Browns as an uptick. Let's put it that way.
Lost 24-10 to the division rival Ravens in Baltimore yesterday. Joe Flacco had a decent day there. DeShone Kizer left the game with a migraine, came back with a migraine. I don't know how that works. They've got issues. The Browns have always had issues. We know they have issues. That's part of what goes on there. Other news and notes, the Titans and Jaguars got together. Remember when the Jaguars won in week 1 and that was a big surprise?
They were on their way, baby.
They were on their way to Florida. They were only down 6-3 at halftime, gave up 31 second-half points. As Tennessee rolled away, they win 37-16. Everybody in the South is 1-1, except
your Indianapolis Colts at 0-2. But no division losses.
That's the good news. And the bad news is the Colts have the easiest schedule, and they're already 0-2 on top of it. What else caught your eye in the NFL yesterday? The Bears stink. They gave you a little false hope against Atlanta in week one in Chicago. They go down to Tampa. What's all the talk about Jameis Winston, Super Bowl, Tampa Bay? What's all that going on? It's their first game of the year. Obviously, they had hurricane issues with Miami, so they did not play in week number one. 29-7 winners there.
The team, you got to right away look at Atlanta after yesterday and go, well, I think they shook the Super Bowl hangover a little
bit.
They did. Had a little problem with the Bears, but in the end, took care of business. And
brand new stadium, lots of distractions. The Mercedes-Benz Stadium is absolutely gorgeous in Atlanta, and they absolutely mauled the Packers 24-7, 34-10 before the Packers get some garbage late, and they win by 11 there. So the Falcons off to a 2-0 start. Interesting yesterday, because the Colts are going to play these two teams, the Seahawks and the 49ers coming up. Pitcher's duel at Safeco Field as Felix Hernandez out-dueled Matt Cain or Madison Bumgarner there. 12-9 is your final score. And San Francisco, they might not be very good offensively, but this is the same Seattle team that couldn't even move the football against Green Bay last week. This game was in Seattle, and you think, the 12th man, it's loud and rainy and noisy and all those bad things. But they struggled with the 49ers, and that does not bode well for either for the Colts, because they're going to play both these teams. We know that was the first primetime game with the Seahawks coming up on Sunday night down the road there.
And then we could be 0-5 and go to Tennessee.
And then start
still not have Andrew Luck back.
And still not have a division loss.
Wait a minute. We're supposed to be looking for silver linings. We're supposed to be looking for unicorns and sunshine.
Will the Colts get better next weekend? I think they will, because the more time Brissett has, fine, no problem. But what we learned from Brissett is, until he gets the confidence to unleash it, the Colts' offense is easy to defend. And we talked about mistakes, and we talked about mistakes because every single player, it seems like, made one or two. You can't keep the ball dink and dunk all day long, take a shot here or there. If you're not going to expand the field down the field, you can't make that throw in overtime, because it wasn't there. And that did not give the – here's what the Colts got lucky with. Number one, they missed a field goal to get to overtime. The game should have been over in regulation. Number two, they win the coin toss. So you've got the ball, and again, you've only scored 3 points in the last, 45 minutes. That's, so your offense wasn't exactly humming, but you're not going to put your defense out there first. Nobody's that crazy to do it. So you had the two breaks you needed. And for a game where you really didn't get a lot of breaks, per se, you had the one turnover by Hooker late in the first half, which wasn't a break. He made a good play, caught it, but you had a dropped interception. You had a ball go through Quincy Wilson, the cornerback, right through his hands. You had Farley try to catch one sideways, went right through his hands. So you finally get your break, and what do you do with your break? You take it and
throw it away
right away. So the quarterback can't make mistakes. Hey, it wasn't a pick six. I know Tolzien had two of those, but it's a pick that essentially ended the game, whether it goes for six or you sit there and you kick a 30-yard field goal.
There's just no margin of error for the Colts now.
I've been trying to say that for 90 minutes. You've just nailed it.
That's the biggest thing. They have got to play darn near perfect football. You got to manage the game. You got to make a play when you can make a play, and you've got to – not turn the ball over, and that's right now.
And your star players can't, in big situations, not get it done. They have to make plays as well because of this. It's a knife edge. The Colts are simply inches from being blown out. They're inches from winning. That's a tough place to be.
Well, they put themselves in a situation with Andrew Luck having surgery. Why in the world, after 9 months, he's not been able to throw the ball? I think me smells a rat there already.
The offensive line is playing two undrafted rookies. Where all the guys that were drafted this year, last year, and everywhere else? I know Ryan Kelly's out of his boot. That's
right.
That doesn't
help
me until he comes back.
Right.
But everybody seems to be.
Well, they didn't get in somebody. No one, for God's sake, you can't tell me they really thought Tolzien was going to be able to hold the fort. Come on.
They did.
Yeah.
They told you one thing. Everybody else was too expensive. Yeah. Jay Cutler. Because what happens if Luff came back week one? Then you got a guy in your books for $2, $3, $4, $6, $8 million that you're throwing money away. And we've seen two undrafted guys on the line that are playing.
Yeah.
That money wasn't used for that either. The money wasn't used to get a running back. You're sticking with 34-year-old Frank Gore. Now it's raining.
Yeah.
They heard us talking about the Colts finally.
Sprinkles on the Taco Bell weather puddle.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is raining.
See it.
The Colts have issues. The Colts have the Browns. Then they go to Seattle on Sunday Night Football on the 1st. They come back for the 49ers. I don't know if that's right. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, no, I got the schedule right in front of me. You're
the
correct.
Bengals stink. That's good. The Texans, you never know with Deshaun Watson, rookie quarterback, how that's going to work out. The schedule's not – Buffalo is okay. Great. It doesn't matter. The point is it just doesn't matter. If you can't score and stop people from scoring, it doesn't matter.
Get Brissett more practices. Try to firm up a few defensive things. Be able to throw the ball deep next week, or Cleveland's going to put eight guys in the box and force you to do so anyway. So,
there was
improvement from week one. We play a semi-decent team, only give up 16 after giving up 46 to the flipping L.A. Rams.
16 of those were on offense. Two pick sixes and a safety. So, I used to, right, less than 30 is good. Carson Palmer is 38 years old. He still hung 332 yards on
you.
He made all the plays down the end when they needed plays to be made. That's the frustrating part. But,
sure.
But Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback. The first week we said, oh, you're not going to face Wade Phillips' defense again. Yeah, you're right. You didn't face that in week two with the brand-new quarterback, but you only scored 13 points. You scored 9, you scored 13. Cleveland suggests you give more. No, because the Browns have done anything over the last 4 or 5 years. What are the only thing they do? They play decent defense.
Yes,
that's
they
about
do
it.
Have
so
some...
you scratch your head and you wonder why. And
hey,
you got to play them.
That's
and
all
the good
we can
news
do.
Is the season is not over, because if you happen to win 2 in a row, you're 500. And then you're fine. So it's not time. It's just hard for me to see all the it's like when you go into the power, when you check all the breakers. You're not going to flip them all at one time, right?
Right.
That's the problem. You've got to have multiple ones flip. You have to give Brissett either some protection, or you have to give him ways to get rid of the football, a running game. But all that ties around the same thing. You saw some good performances on the defensive line with Hankins up front, now Woods. You saw some good stuff in the linebacking core with Simon. Some of the young corners did play well. Yes, there are some things to dangle there. But when they don't result in victories, you're sure not getting a moral victory in the league where you play. For pay.
That's right.
And that's how it is.
We're developing depth on our offensive line. How's that for a positive?
That's good until Ryan Kelly gets back. Where's LaRaven Clark? Third round pick? Can he not play football? I guess
not. We don't
know. Can't get in the game.
Anyway.
Can't beat out any of these other guys. So we've beaten that horse dead. When we come back, we'll take a look at some college football. What has surprised us? Should we keep an eye on West Lafayette? The Purdue Boilermakers have started their season interestingly, including an SEC road victory. People say, hey, the Hoosiers won an ACC road game. Yeah. The Boilermakers, Maryland scoring a ton of points. The Big Ten. We'll give you a little update of what's happening. Take a look ahead at this weekend as well. And we'll take you up until 7:45 when we'll have Monday Night Football. Detroit and the Giants right around the corner. That's Terry. I'm Glass. You're in the zone at WGCL. DJ is a little rusty from last year.
You think?
Got to remember the order for all this stuff.
Hey, it's only the second week of it's just the first week.
First week? You're
voyage. I'm maiden voyage this year. Why not? What? Novak Saturday night goes, hey, now remember, we've got a long show on
Long
Monday.
Show on Mondays.
I go, Dave, it's not my first rodeo. You know, I've done this enough years now that I've gotten in on a few Monday nights.
That's right, pro.
I forgot that this was the first one of a single game.
And that's why
we're
here.
But we made it.
Every Monday of football season, we will take you until 7:45, where we will have Monday Night Football take immediately over. The Giants hosting the Lions tonight. Pre-game at 7:45. The kick at what, 8:25? Monday's.
I'm guessing.
Why
is
it that 5 minute earlier kickoff? It drives me absolutely crazy. Just put it at 8:30.
Yeah.
It's too late anyhow. So
yeah,
saving 5 minutes isn't going to help me at all. Tomorrow night, Reds and Cardinals at 7 p.m. Great American Ballpark. That's tomorrow and Wednesday. Pro football back on Thursday. Rams in San Francisco, 8 p.m. High school night, Friday football. As always, we'll be on the north side for homecoming with Perry Meridian at 7 o'clock. We'll put an asterisk next to that. These game times tend to change and jump around, but right now we're convinced it's 7, so that's where we'll stay. Saturday night football, college football, 7:30. Penn State travels to Iowa as the Big Ten. Well, geez, they're the highest-ranked team in the Big Ten. The Nittany Lions ranked 5th. They're scoring plenty. They play Akron. They played Pitt, a little bit tougher game, but then they absolutely steamrolled Georgia State 56-0 last weekend, and then the Colts in Cleveland noon.
And did you see
Saturday?
You see their coach,
James Franklin,
Mr. No Class, called a timeout and iced the kicker.
I missed that.
The other team, because he wanted a shutout. Well, the kid missed. I don't think he missed the first one, but he did miss the second field goal.
Oh, he did, because it was 0, right?
And I think that's one of the lowest things I've ever seen, at 56-0, and ice a college kicker to get your team
at
the shutout.
Penn State hasn't had a whole lot of positive karma in the last, I don't know,
you know what?
10 years or
so. I'm way over that crap. You know, that's tough. It is what it is. That's no class.
But I'm just saying, throwing gas on a fire to an already unsympathetic base doesn't help at all.
Okay, you're agreeing with me.
Yeah,
you're
exactly
just,
right.
I get your point now.
Exactly
okay,
right.
Okay.
Illinois lost at South Florida. South Florida was 47-23 there. That the Illini with Lovie Smith, not really sure how that's going to go this year, next year, or if ever.
Any year.
Michigan kicked, what, 5 field goals, only scored 2 touchdowns against mighty Air Force at the Big House. Michigan's teams are weird. You know they're always going to play good defense. You know they're always going to be strong in special teams. Harbaugh tends to know what he's doing.
He lost a lot of starters from last year.
My brother got married this weekend to an Ohio State girl.
Oh my.
So I was surrounded by a lot of Bucknuts this weekend. They were excited with the obviously they're all Cleveland Indian fans as well, so they had the 22 game winning streak going on.
I'll give them that.
They had
like
a big
that.
Weekend, and then they struggled, and a lot of them said, you know, Kevin Wilson's got this great reputation for offense, but we're just not maybe scoring as many points as we like. And I said, hey, I could take you through a few of those if you want to go through those. I said, you have to remember who's in charge there. And Kevin Wilson's not in charge. That's Urban Meyer. So
yeah,
if you guys don't like it, Ohio State puts away Army finally. That game was 17-7 at halftime, 38-7 the final. Guess who's too fast? Guess who's too strong? That's not hard to figure out. Wisconsin goes on the road. That's your 4th team in the top 10. And beat BYU. How about poor BYU? Didn't they get shut out by LSU in week 1 at one of those made-for-TV extravaganzas?
I think so. How far the mighty have dropped, because BYU's always been a top
Bronco
program.
Mendenhall got out of there. Maybe he saw something.
He saw it.
But 6 points against Wisconsin, 0 against LSU. And then you see the Tigers of LSU get absolutely turned over upside down and backwards. Mississippi State blows them completely out of the water. We'll get to the national games here in a minute. Minnesota wins 34-3. Iowa wins. Iowa doesn't score very many points, Terry. That's going to be interesting to see how they match up with Mr. Run Up the Score on Saturday here on our airwaves.
And now you got it. Wait a minute. You missed the big game.
Which one?
That Northern Illinois game.
Well, we haven't got there yet.
Okay.
We're still scrolling.
I bet somebody might be listening in wanting to know if we're mentioning that.
All of that. Rutgers scores 65 to beat Morgan State. The Boilermakers win at Missouri. Now, granted, Missouri's not ranked like the time the Hoosiers went in there with Tevin Coleman and ran him over, but still, winning on the road for a Purdue team that, frankly, hasn't been very good the last 4 or 5 years and only giving up 3 points, well, that's something, so we'll keep an eye on West Lafayette. Rutgers scores 65 on Morgan State with a freshman quarterback. Northwestern finally found some points. They beat Bowling Green handily. IU was canceled, as you know. And to wrap things up, the Northern Illinois Huskies 21, the Nebraska Cornhuskers 17 in front of 84,000 or whatever that count was in Lincoln. That's great for Dave, whose dad used to coach there and really turned that program up the right direction. But that's bad for the league because Nebraska went and got shellacked at Oregon last week.
Right.
Gave up 42 points there. This was the get-right game. Remember in week 1, and I know a lot of people don't, week 1, Nebraska played at home to Arkansas State and beat them 43-36. So this Nebraska team, I don't know what to tell you about them.
They're not any good?
They haven't gotten off to the start they've wanted, we'll see how it works out there. So we'll get you all the Big Ten games coming up for the weekend. On Wednesday, we'll go more into Georgia Southern. There's not a lot to go into there, so we'll do more with IU on all of that. Also yesterday, it's a tremendously busy weekend. Joseph Newgarden is your IndyCar champion.
Right.
He didn't win the race, but he won the points title. Mark Leishman won the golf at Chicago Conway Farms. Leishman is one of the five that will control his chance at $10 million. Jordan Spieth is ranked number one. Leishman is in there. Dustin Johnson.
Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Leishman, and John Rahm.
The average age of that foursome is 27 years of age. It's the youngest it's been in a long, long time. Last 5 years in the playoff tee, there has been a multiple winner. That has not been the case this year. So that means if that streak is going to come alive, you only have three guys to pick from.
That's
there.
That's true.
But streaks have a way of coming to an end as well. The tour moves to Atlanta this weekend for the tour championship at East Lake Golf Club, so we'll talk about that as well. We'll have a busy Wednesday because we'll have the Colts preview with Cleveland. That will take care of all of that. We'll have, obviously, the Hoosiers and Georgia Southern. Hopefully, no news is good news on that because the news we had over the weekend on IU's, well, former IU football player, Kamion Patrick.
Yeah.
Boy, we heard that on Thursday morning right before we got off the air, and that's something for sure. I don't know what it all entails, but it is definitely something. And then news today coming out as well in the afternoon that another player from the Kevin Wilson era at Indiana complaining about certain perhaps verbal abuses, whatever it is. Zach Osterman had that story earlier today. I would assume Mikey Miller is going to have it at the HT a little bit later today. How your Dodgers doing, T? I told you I was going to put that off. I'll give you a minute because we have seen the highest of highs. We've seen perhaps the lowest of lows, but you're still in first place and life's good.
Still have the best record in baseball. Still should
those
get the
Indians
home.
They're creeping.
They're creeping, but we've still got the best record in baseball. We're winning the night 2-0. You informed me a moment ago as Clayton Kershaw once again comes up after a loss and going to win tonight. Dodgers have had a tremendous year, but they got the Sports Illustrated jinx.
Oh no!
When it came up and told them they might be the best team, regular season team ever. They lose 16 out of 17 after that article comes out. So thank you, SI.
That's tough to deal with. Why is that Sports Illustrated jinx thing always work? Isn't that
crazy
how that
it
always
does,
happens?
It does always work.
Seems like it's always
on. They're doing fine. They're going to win the West and hopefully get back in the World Series first time since 1988.
We'll keep an eye on the National League Central as the Reds will have a say in that. The Cardinals are six back. The Brewers are four back. Cubbies have won six straight. That helps. And they have 83 wins. 90 wins for the Nationals. What happened to the Houston Astros? They were hot there for a while, too. 91 wins.
Yeah, our buddy Duke, they're still going to win the division.
No, they're up 15 games. They'll be just fine. Yeah. Thankfully, the double wild card is in play. That will keep some multiple cities around America.
Including your Yankees.
Paying attention to the baseball. Yankees just three back in the East. All right, for Terry Stoltz, I'm Mike Glasgow. Stay tuned. NFL football is next. You've been in the zone on WGCL.